Brothers and sisters, when we think about Jesus in the Gospels, we realize a lot is asked of Jesus. I just wrote down some examples. The disciples on prayer asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jairus asked for healing. Jesus, come to my home, for my only daughter is dying. Scholar of the law asked for a question to be answered. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? They all seem logical and rational. And now we come to the gospel of today. Someone in a crowd yells out, Jesus, tell my brother to share with me the inheritance. If you had one thing to ask of Jesus, would you ask Jesus about your inheritance? Is that what you'd ask? Probably not. And besides, think about where this could all lead. It's the issue of this man. He wasn't given his share of inheritance. Was it about percentages? He wants more than the allotted amount. Is it about how the will was written? Is it about he wasn't entitled to anything but wants something? This is left to attorneys. It's left to arbitrators. This is left to judges. And Jesus says as much when he says today, who has appointed me your judge and arbitrator? And yet, Jesus takes this and he uses it as a way in which to teach. So let's look at what he teaches today. Vanity. It's a word in our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity. Well, what is vanity? It's a quality of feeling worthless or futile. I've been there. I'll give you an example. During my summer months when I was going to college to raise money for college, I was a carpenter, I raised hogs, and I also raised soybeans. And one year I bought probably about 80, 40 to 50 pound feeder pigs. I was going to raise them, profit I was going to use for college. Well, wouldn't you know it, about a month in to having these feeder pigs, all of a sudden they contracted an illness, and what did they do? They started to die. And so what happened? I could see my profit margin starting to slip. Sadly, more and more and more died over time. In the end, when I go down and I look at what I have remaining, I realize, brothers and sisters, what I had remaining was not going to make up for what I had lost. Even with what I could sell, I was going to come out in the red. And so that summer, raising hogs was an endeavor in vanity. I felt futile. But we hear about a man today in the gospel who has a very different perspective. Brothers and sisters, not only does he have abundance, but all of a sudden he comes across this super, super harvest. Okay, it's not common coming from the farm. You don't do this. You just don't tear down your old bins and build all new. You keep what you got and you build up accordingly. Not this man. Tears it all down and he starts all new. That's a harvest. And then what does he say? Because of the harvest, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to be merry. I'm going to rest. I'm going to drink. And I'm going to eat quite a life. But we come to that first reading of today, Ecclesiastes. We believe it's written by Solomon. And Solomon had everything this rich farmer had. He had power, he had servants, he had money, he had everything. He had buildings upon buildings upon buildings. And yet, even having all of this stuff, what does he say? He says this, it is vanity. So the question I have to ask today is, why? Why is this life vanity? Okay? I'm going to share two things with you today. First of all, think about the rich man's great storehouse of grain. What can happen? Things that are beyond control. I'm going to give you some examples today. Think about Ukraine. Some of the richest farmland in all the world. All of a sudden, what happens? Russia invades, and all of a sudden, Russia takes your farmland and everything you have in your bins. It's all gone, just like that. You know, when we think about this, brothers, I saw this the other day. There was a man harvesting wheat in Ukraine, driving his combine, and he had a flak jacket on. A flak jacket. And he said this, "We realize as farmers in Ukraine how important our harvest is, and we are willing to harvest this even though the Russians could kill us." But do you realize that? The Russians could come, take it all away. It's all gone. Another thing, your crops can spoil in the bin. High wind, tornado comes, bins just all of a sudden explode, and you've got grain scattered for miles. Here's another thing. Just when you have enough in your bin, so does everyone else, and crop prices crash. The scenarios are endless. There's always worry and anxiety. And here's the second thing I want to share with you, okay? I entitled this, "It's a False Sense of Security Driven by an Appetite for More," okay? False sense of security driven by an appetite for more. I read this week. I want to share this with you. When we think about our population here in America, Americans make more than four times as much as the average person elsewhere outside of America, yet we spend 98% of that on ourselves. We spend more money on eating out than we do giving to charity. More money on our pets than we do helping the poor. More money on pornography than we do combating oppression and injustice. Comparatively speaking, it's not that we are in a tough spot. Case in point, Americans give less to charity today, percentage-wise, than we did during the Great Depression. Consider, a household income of six figures puts one in the top half of 1% of people worldwide, and yet, only one-third of Americans who make six figures say they feel like they have enough money to buy what they need. The richest 1% of the richest part of the world feel like they don't have enough. What's going on? Well, here's something. 71% of all credit card balances in this country have only the minimum monthly payment being made. Americans spend an average of $1.26 for every dollar earned. We save less than any industrialized nation. Germans save 10% a year. Americans save at a rate of, get this, a negative 0.5%. Wow, isn't that amazing? With all of this, just a word of caution. It's so easy to slip into the language, the thought of the rich man. And I want you to listen to what he says. Listen to how many times he says the word "I" and "my." Are you ready? Get your counters out. "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. Pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say, I have enough goods for many years. I will relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Here it is. The rich man utters the word "I" eight times, "my" four times, never talks about you, me, or a reference about God. It's all about me. My wants, my needs. How would you like to live with this guy? All about me. I wouldn't. But that's the gospel. Usually I close with a thought, but I'm going to do something a little bit today. I want to share with you a few various thoughts. Think about the rich man when it comes to these thoughts. Okay? Here they are. "Be assured of one thing. We will all have the same net worth when we are dead. I don't know the actual value of net worth, but dead bodies aren't worth a lot." True? True. Death is a sobering reality. It helps us put things in perspective. Yet here's the amazing thing. People find clarity at funerals and suddenly see life in its proper perspective. It's astounding how quickly after a funeral, the clarity and perspective disappear. Lives move back to normal, the same, the way we've always done it. Seasoned pastor once said, I have heard many different regrets expressed by people nearing the end of life, but there is one regret I have never heard expressed. I've never heard anyone say, are you ready? I wish I hadn't given away so much. I wish I had kept more for myself. And here's the last one. College physics professor showed his class a large jar. First put in the jar a big rock, then he filled it with gravel, then he put in sand, finally filled it with water. He asked the class what the moral was. One said, you can always make room for more. No, he replied. After other failed attempts, he said, the moral is you cannot get the rock in unless you put it in first. And that's the story of Jesus. Okay? Jesus, the rock, will not fit in our lives unless we put him in first. He wants to be first. And yet the question is he? Is he? And that's the question I leave us with this week. So let's all contemplate that, you and me, as we gather in God's presence this day.